Very shortly, next Thursday, I believe it is, the Multicultural Leadership Program will be holding a poverty simulation over at Calvary United Methodist Church in Normal. And joining us in the studio, as she does each month, is the head of the Multicultural Leadership Program, Linda Bolivar. Hi, Linda.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about this event. How long will it be? And what will you be learning? I imagine you'll be trying to show how people live who are less fortunate or without the resources that those of us who are blessed have.
Exactly. This poverty simulation is put on by the University of Illinois Extension Office. They use a kit that was built out of the state of Missouri using profiles of actual people living in poverty. So next Thursday, October 26th, our leadership class, as well as anyone else who's registered to participate, they will be assigned to families that they'll get a little profile regarding the employment, the family members, are their kids in school, et cetera. And then they'll go through four rounds of having to do all the things families have to do, paying their rent or mortgage, getting food, getting to work, getting the kids to school, and some of those challenges that people living in poverty face. Now, it's a big event. Our class has 26 participants, but we can have up to 90 people participate in the poverty simulation. We have about 70 registered right now, so we do still have some spaces. And it takes up to 25 volunteers. So anyone who has been through a poverty simulation before, or honestly, if you think, I've already lived in poverty, I don't need to experience it, we would love to have you sign up to volunteer.
All right, so give me an example, if you can be a little specific.
Sure.
If I'm in one of these, let's say I'm assigned to a specific family,
right,
what might the circumstances be that I'll be dealing with in this simulation?
Sure. Well, when I went through this in the fall of 2013, I was assigned to the Chen family. English was not our first language. I think we had a child who spoke English. We had a
These are fictitious families?
These are actually based on real families. Okay. Obviously, the names and identifying information are changed, but they're it's all created by people who've worked for years with people living in poverty, so they're based on real people. I believe in our family, the husband was a laid-off computer worker, you know, someone who had a high-income job. But like many people, a lot of people live pretty much paycheck to paycheck. No matter how good your salary is, you might spend most of it every month and not have a lot of reserves. So I believe in our case, that was a situation. There was a layoff situation. And then we had, of course, another member added to the family with a teenager having a child. And so trying to balance all of the things of taking care of the baby, trying to get our teenager to finish school, getting the father and the family to work, getting all the bills paid. And it's interesting because when I first went to pay bills, I looked at, what do I have money for? I'll pay the clothing bill. And the person looked at me really funny because it hadn't computed with me yet that I didn't have money to even pay the rent. In my mind, I was just, oh, here's a bill I can pay. I wasn't recognizing, no, there's just not money to pay the essentials. So really putting the people who go through it in the situation of having to face, I don't have enough money to buy food and pay my rent, maybe to have a bus pass to get to work. How am I going to manage all of this?
Yeah, it's, you know, you're talking about the essentials. You look at the rent or the mortgage.
Right.
And then you got to keep the light.
Right. Yeah, we have to pay utilities.
You got to keep the lights on and the water bill and that sort of thing. And then you get to everything else.
Right. And you have to get the kids to school. And if you don't, then the truant officers will come around and there can be legal ramifications. If you don't get to work on time, then you might lose your job. There's a challenge with having to get your paychecks cashed, or if you have checks to get cash, because you have to go wait in line to get that cash, that might make you late to something else.
Well, and yeah, there's that. And there's also, if you don't have a savings account or any
right.
money left in your savings account, how do your check isn't going to clear.
Right.
For, it used to be 7 days. Now it's a lot shorter because
right.
of technology and everything's done digitally, but you may not have access to your paycheck right away.
Exactly. And there is a pawn shop. If people get to the point where they might need to pawn some of their belongings, there's just, they've really put a lot into creating the kit so that clearly you can never actually experience living in poverty if that's not where you are. But they do a lot of things to try to make you understand all of the, or a lot of the challenges that go into that situation.
It provides some perspective. Certainly you can't duplicate in three
right.
and a half hours, and you don't face the same stress because even though you're trying to replicate it, you know that when 8 o'clock rolls around, you go back to your actual life.
Exactly. So it is certainly can't be a perfect simulation, but it's a way to expose people who have never lived in that situation to some of the challenges. And honestly, every year we have people coming out saying, you know what, I'm going to be a lot less judgmental now of people living in poverty, and realizing that for the most part, they're doing the best they can. So,
all right. So that's on Thursday, October 26th, from 4:30 to 8 at Calvary United Methodist Church in Normal. Are you still looking for people? It sounds like you still have space.
We do have space both for volunteers and participants. You can sign up. You could either just go to our website, which is bn-mclp.org, and click the events link. We also have a tiny URL or a short address you can look up. It's tiny.cc/POVSIMMCLP. So that's POVSIMMCLP. And I learned recently with these tiny URLs, capitalization does matter. Normally on a web address, it doesn't, but that's how they keep them tiny.
Okay, very good. Now, in addition to the poverty simulation, you have your class projects are underway. And if people aren't familiar with this, each year, the Multicultural Leadership Program has a new class of participants.
Correct.
And they all get projects assigned to them. So tell us about the projects that are underway.
Sure. So our class of leaders who want to improve their skills runs July through March. At the beginning of September, they get assigned to their project teams. Our five projects this year, there's one for the Bloomington Public Library to raise awareness. And if you live in Bloomington, one of these days you might have a door-to-door campaign, people coming to tell you more about the library. Our Western Avenue Community Center team, they are helping the community center with a spring fundraiser to try to raise funds so they can keep doing the good work they're doing. The Heartland Head Start team is helping them improve and strengthen their volunteer program. I think I mentioned last month when I was here, the federal funds that Heartland Head Start receives have to be matched by volunteer hours. So it's important for them to have a strong volunteer program or money's left on the table. Then we have another partnership with the University of Illinois Extension Office, which does the poverty simulation, and that's their food forest. So that is over, I believe, in the old Soldiers and Sailors Home area in Normal. And that is to try to help people who are living with food insecurity learn about the food forest, learn when to, you know, how are you going to get there, when to go, what food to pick, and what do you do once you pick it. And then our final, last but not least, project is with the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation. And that team is helping the foundation with developing a camp that will be called Attack Asthma, which is a day camp for children to learn to manage their asthma better, because that can be a life-threatening illness.
You have some speakers and some people that conduct training sessions.
Yes.
And these people come from all different areas of the community.
They do. And in looking at my list of our recent ones, we've been a little heavy on State Farm lately, but we get great support from across the community. Just last Saturday, we had a session on leadership courage with Annette Martinez. She is the head of human resources for State Farm. And every year, she comes in and challenges our class on leadership courage, because it's not really showing leadership to just make the easy decision. So really thinking through what's the best decision and having the courage to do that.
Well, some of the courage, a lot of people don't want to be in charge of a group of other people.
Right.
Because you feel like, hey, look, I would be more comfortable just managing myself.
And it's a lot easier to criticize other people's decisions than it is to have to be the one to make those
tough
decisions.
Well, and that's another thing. Some people don't want to be looked at as the boss.
Exactly. So Annette really challenges our class on think about what are those tough decisions that you have to make, and how do you face the backlash that might happen. Also on Saturday, we had a session on leading change with Diana Howman, and she is a retired training professional, also has been a local alderwoman. And that leading change session, leaders, whether it's at home or at work or in community projects, often have to lead through change, whether it's downsizing, implementing a new software or program. And so helping people identify what are the challenges to change and how can you lead people through that. Then our other recent one, the session before that, was Crucial Conversations. We're very fortunate State Farm provides two wonderful trainers for that, Sharon Wooten and Bill Reedy.
What are Crucial Conversations?
Crucial Conversations, it's actually a book, and the name's going to, the publisher is going to go out of my head, but Crucial Conversations are conversations when the stakes are high, emotions are strong, and the views are opposing. So it's something important. It's not a trivial matter, but the two people involved have very different opinions on it, and you know, the stakes are high. And so it's helping people develop skills for how do you address that. And one of the first things they talk about is the fact that when we first have a conflict with someone, we create stories in our head of what their ulterior motives are. So the first step is to step back and quit creating those stories about you know, why someone didn't tell you something or why they made a decision, and come forward with your concerns and listen to theirs and try to find that common ground.
But there has to be trust there.
Absolutely. And that's very important to build that trust. And that's part of the whole one of the threads throughout our curriculum is authenticity as a leader, because if you build authenticity and trust, it's going to be a lot easier to have those crucial conversations. And then they talk about the two ends of the spectrum, silence and violence. And they're not referring to violence as in hitting each other, but violence is when you disagree with someone and you strike out at them, you call names or attack them as a person. And then silence is where some of us, maybe we would just rather avoid conflict. So we want to bring people to the middle. Yeah. Where you are dealing with it appropriately.
Yeah, a lot of times when maybe you have a bone to pick with somebody, you will just avoid them.
Right.
And so there's no communication.
Exactly.
And I think that happens most often.
Yes. And that is, they really explain in this course that that's really no more helpful than violence. It might seem nicer, but really, if you're not solving the problem, and again, we're not talking about trivial issues with crucial conversations. It's things where the stakes are high and it matters.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left, running out of time here, but
yes.
One of your participants is moving on.
Yes, and I'm really excited. If you have to lose someone from a leadership program, this is the best reason to lose them. One of our current participants, Dr. Steve Stapleton, is a professor at the ISU Mennonite College of Nursing. He has been hired to be the director of the School of Nursing at Missouri State University in Springfield. He's going to move there January 1st, so he's starting that transition plan. He'll be the director of a program which includes undergraduate, master's, and doctoral nursing students, as well as a clinic. So I think if you're going to lose someone from a leadership program, what better way to lose them?
Well, congratulations to Steve Stapleton.
Yes.
And for more information on the Multicultural Leadership Program, you can check their website out at bn-mclp.org. Linda, thanks for being here. We'll see you again next month.
All right. Thanks as always.